Well, you want to know what God does? There you have it. Everything, absolutely everything. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And if you take notes, I've entitled the message, The Big Bang, The Big Bang, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. God bless you. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Before we look at our text, let's bow our heads and ask for the Holy Spirit to open it up for us. Spirit of God, we do thank you for all of the Word of God, because all of it is suitable for everything. It covers every facet of life. And as we come to this, we pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to what the words mean, not just in meaning, but the spiritual implications they have in our life as well. We pray, God, that you would be glorified in that. And if there is one listening who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray that today they would meet Jesus Christ. We pray today you might call them and they might come to Christ and be saved. As it pleases you, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Big Bang. Have you noticed ever since the Hubble telescope came out and notified scientists that the Big Bang didn't happen, how there you don't hear much more about it? It wasn't something they liked to hear. However, and it may seem like a strange title for a Sunday morning service, but the truth is, scientists are right. They got one thing right when they say the creation is the result of the Big Bang. Everybody's sitting on his chair saying, what is he talking about? The problem is, they got it right, but they didn't get the mechanics of it right. The mechanics is wrong. Instead of something exploding out of nothing, the Big Bang, as they call it, it came from God giving the command in our text, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:3, that's the Big Bang. That's the biblical Big Bang right there. And that same omnipotent power that lit up the universe is the same power that brings life to man's spiritually dead heart. If you're sitting here today and you know Christ is your Savior or watching us online, then your life in Christ is a Big Bang. The light of God shed upon you, and it changed your life. That's what I want to look at this morning. And I have a proof verse for that. If you turn with me to the book of Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. This is a sister verse to 2 Corinthians 4, 6. John 8, 12. Thus says the Lord, I am the light of the world, Jesus said. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, that's what happens when we get saved. We're walking in darkness. We don't even know it's dark. We keep bumping into life, though, don't we? We don't have any problem with that. And we don't understand it. We knock our heads against it. And then we get saved and everything changes. The light goes on. And that's the Big Bang. That's the light of life. Metaphorically speaking, it's fair to say that every believer has experienced a Big Bang moment the instant they were saved. And I have a proof verse for you. If Ron was here, I'd call out his name because he takes down every verse I write. 2 Corinthians, if you're listening, Ron, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the Big Bang in your life. You're a new creature. You've been transformed. You've been transferred. Colossians 2:13 says you've been transferred from the domain of darkness and he transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved son. You're not the same person. All things are new, are they not? Aren't your interests different? Aren't your friends different? Is not your influence in life different? Do you not love your enemy, love your neighbor? Do you love God? Do you follow him? Do you commit your life to him? Of course you do. That's what believers do. And in doing that, you're a new creature. That's the big bang. That's the real big bang. And didn't the power of God's love create you, within you, a shining star that reflects the gospel light into the world? Are you not the greatest gospel message any of your relatives will ever see, or your neighbors, or the people you work with? If you're living a Christian life, they're going to see nothing, get no greater gospel message than watching you and how you live your life. And that's the burning star that came when the Big Bang, when God saved you, when he called you out of the darkness and into the light. That's the Big Bang. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world." There's no light in this world outside of God. It's all dark. And there aren't many lights in comparison to how dark it is. In his ministry, in Christ's ministry, he displayed that Big Bang power when he did several things. When he raised the dead, how do you raise the dead? People who stunk. Lazarus, the Bible said he stunk. He was mummified. He couldn't walk, and he levitated out of that tomb, stone dead. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth. Unwrap him and give him some food." He was alive. That's the resurrection power. That resurrection power is the Big Bang. How about casting out demons? How about the one that had legion? He had hundreds of demons in him, and he just took them out of him. He cast them out, and he cast them onto the swine and freed them and told them to go into the town and show himself and tell them what happened. And that's what we're to do. We're to shine that light. That light that was shined, that was given to us, we're to shine that back into the world. We're to reflect it back into the world. He healed the lepers. Do you know something? When Jesus healed the 10 lepers and he told them to go to the priest, you know the problem with that was? Nobody had ever healed a leper before. It was unheard of. I don't know what they did, but I know this. Nobody ever healed a leper except Jesus Christ. And how about the blind? How about the guy standing on Jericho in Maine, blind his whole life? And his disciples asked him, "Jesus, which one sinned, the father or the mother?" And he said, "Neither one of them did. He was born blind, that God's glory would be shown." And did he not give him his sight back? Why? The glory of God. It was all for the glory of God. And nobody could do that unless they had that supernatural power. And he brought life to crippled legs too. People that were lame never walked. He said, "Pick up your crutches and pick up your bed and walk." And he did. Power that all came from Jesus Christ. And that same resurrection power is in you and I. We may not be able to raise the dead. We won't be able to raise the dead. We won't be able to perhaps heal crippled people. But what we will be able to do is to shine the light and let God do that. We don't do that. People don't do that. God does that. God does the healing. God raises the dead. We don't do that. And his greatest display, our Lord's greatest display of the Big Bang, was his own resurrection. He raised himself from the dead. He gave his spirit. No man killed God. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. And he did. And then 3 days later, he resurrected. And he showed himself to over 500 people. They saw him. Not just his disciples, but others saw him as well. That is the power of the spiritual Big Bang that Jesus Christ brought into this world and gave to every one of his disciples, you and I, the power to reflect the love of God, the traits of God, the patience of God, all the fruit of the Spirit. We can do that. We have the power to do it. Good verse for that is Philippians 2:14. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it's not us doing it, it's Him doing it because we're in Him and He's in us. Now, everything I just said, today's evangelical church doesn't know anything about that. Oh, they know about the words. They probably read about the resurrection and the demons and all that other stuff. But they don't know the omnipotent God of Scripture. They don't. And you know why? Because today much of Christendom worships an imaginary God. That's what's going on in the evangelical world today. Tares. Their God is self-proclaimed God, the God of humanism. Man is okay. Don't worry about sin. God loves you. He'll take care of it. It's no big deal. That's humanism, man worshiping man. A counterfeit Christian worship, and also counterfeit Christians worship a self-serving liberal God. Your body is your body. Do what you want with it. Same-sex marriage is fine. If you want to call yourself a woman, and although you're a man, do it. Liberalism is a God, and much of evangelical Christendom caters to it. And the imaginary God is a self-gratifying God. You should know that. Every God outside of Scripture is a self-gratifying God who preach and teach. These people preach and teach messages that just tickle their ears. I was talking to somebody today, and we were talking about something, and I said, the reason this church, you hear an echo in here, and you have a balcony that's empty, and you have empty seats here is because we're preaching the truth here, which we're preaching God's word here. We're not tickling anybody's ears. We always talk about your responsibility for sin. And we talk about God's responsibility to us as his children. And you don't hear that in churches that have self-serving or self-gratifying or self-proclaimed gods. You don't hear that. Paul describes the unsaved believer's God in Romans 1, 22, 23. Turn there. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. This is a perfect description of the evangelical church today. Paul writes, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creepy things. Basically, what he's saying is that they took the Bible and the things in the Bible, and then they put all the things that they wanted, and they just used the Bible to back up some of the things they were doing. They're God of their imagination. They use the scriptures to make themselves look righteous. And all they did was mock God. All they did was mock God. But the creator of the Big Bang, he declares, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's our text this morning. And I want to look at that. And look at the first section of it. Here, Paul is quoting Genesis 1 and 3, and he's doing that to highlight the power to create light from nothing. Let light shine out of darkness. That's the big bang of the universe, and it's the spiritual big bang that lit up our lives in Christ. He used it. And I say that because Jesus is the light of life. There's no light without Jesus Christ. None. John 12, 46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're walking in the light. You may not be, you may be walking on the edge of the light sometimes, as we all do, but you have the light inside of you in the Holy Spirit. You're walking in that light. Or you should be. And because he lights up our life, because Jesus Christ lights up our life, we see something. All we see the world, we see ourselves, we see the world, and we see God's will clearly. Before I was saved, I didn't care what God's will was. I didn't. I just wanted to do my will. That's what a lost person does. But since I got saved, my whole perspective has changed. The lenses have been changed in my spiritual mind. My spiritual mind has been opened. I see myself altogether different. I see myself as a man, a sinner, a saved sinner, a weak piece of clay that can do nothing. Whether you know this or you believe this, everything that happens in your life comes directly, was choreographed directly for you to live that life and to deal with that reality. It was all given to you for that one reason. Because God loves you so much, he gave his son and said, okay, I'm gonna put Doreen, give her Doreen that life, give her Clark, give her children, give her all those things, and put every blessing in that, and every adversity in that, all to grow her, to help her grow. Because all things that happen to her, whether they be blessings or adversities, all of them are gonna work out for her good. They glorify God and they help her. There's no such thing really as an adversity for God's children, because everything's going to work out for your good. How can it be bad if it's good? We just don't see it. And you know, don't we do that with kids? Don't we have to do things to kids as they're growing up to teach them to do good later on? Don't we have to train them up? And we do. There's no difference. The difference is we're adults and we're living our life. And as we're living our life, God wants certain things to happen to us so that we'll be where he wants us to be. Remember, you don't own yourself. Ezekiel 18:4 says, all souls are mine. He is the potter and we're the clay. And we should never forget that. So I see myself different. Do you? Is there a difference in your life since you came to know Jesus Christ? Is there a difference? How about the world? Do you see the world the same way now as you did before you came to know Christ? You could be a moral person. Some of my relatives I love very dearly. They were very moral persons. They were religious too. They just had a religion that had nothing to do with the Bible. It was a Christian religion, but it had nothing to do with Jesus Christ being the one and the only God. They saw the world different than I did. And then when I got saved, I saw the world the way I saw it and the way they saw it, and it wasn't a whole lot of difference. But now I see the world as it is. It's a broken world. It's a dark world. I see that in this world, there's good and there's evil. And you know what? I never saw that, and neither did you before you were saved. You never knew that. I never knew what good was. Why? Because the only good is in the light of Jesus Christ. Outside of that, everything is evil. And you only see that once you're saved. And what that is God replicates today in salvation what he did with Adam and Eve in heaven, in paradise. They knew good. They knew evil. Don't do it. That's evil. They knew it, and they chose evil. In the same way, before we're saved, we don't know what evil is. But as soon as we get saved, we know what evil is, and we can choose it every day. We can choose to do good or to do evil. So I see the world altogether different. And how about God's will? Doesn't being a born-again Christian, don't you have a better view of God's will than you ever did before? Or is God's will that always the same to you, whatever's in the book? If that's the case, you got a problem. It's not just what's in the book, it's what's in your heart. It's what you take out of the book and how you apply it to your life. I had somebody ask me just today. They said to me, how do I know what to pray and ask for? Live your life. And if you're having a problem, go to the Bible verse. And I gave them a topical Bible that explains if you have a problem with anger, you have a problem with jealousy, you have a problem with anything, with loving, all of those things. And it's a Bible that's topical, it's alphabetical, and it gives you every Bible verse to deal with that. So it's like a prescription book. So you got a problem, you pick the Bible up and say, I got a problem with anger. Read all the verses and start living them. And if you're born again, you can do that. There's nothing you can't do. When he says, I can do all things through Christ, look at all the things as brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at all the things you did with your life up to this point, up to this day. Some of those things, could you ever imagine you would do them? I never did. I never thought I could love my enemy. I never thought I could love my neighbor. But when you get saved, you do. It's an instant change. That's how you know you're saved. But not all of us can change in that flipping of a coin. Some of us take years. Look at Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas ate with Christ, he prayed with Christ, he walked with Christ, and he doubted him. Peter, same thing. He denied him three times. We all have that walk, but we have the power. Thomas came back, Peter came back, and you and I come back even when we stumble. Why? Because we belong to God. He's never going to let us go. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us why we understand all the different things in our life now. Simple in 2, 4, 6 words. We have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ simply means when I read the Bible, I understand the spiritual implications of the words. They're just not words. They mean something in my life. I can take this and put it in my life and use it. Before I was saved, it'd just be a book you read. It's a book of morals. Oh, yeah, well, that's a book of morals. You can don't do this, do this, do this, don't do this. But when you have the mind of Christ, all of a sudden, when he says, don't let the sun go down on your sin, I realize that I don't want that sun to go down while I have that in my heart. So I don't. I never did that before, and you never did that before until you came to know Jesus Christ. Let's look at the second section of the text. Paul gives us the purpose of God's light shining into our lives. He says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And using the term has shown in our hearts, what Paul is doing is he's emphasizing God's transformative power to bring light to those that are in darkness. You imagine that? You were where you were was no different than being just dead. That's why the Bible calls them dead, because they don't have life. They don't have spiritual life. And he took that away from you. He brought you into a place where there was light. Colossians 2:13 says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. That's what it means. He's forgiven us. He's forgiven Kyle. He's forgiven Tony. He's forgiven all of the people that come out and call on his name. He forgives them. That's all we have to do is call out his name. And I like the way that verse says, God made alive together with him. You know what that means? That means we're together with God because we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That in itself is part of the big bang inside of you. That's the power that you have in Christ. Now, the term the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, that's referring to a deep understanding of who God is. You'll live your whole life. There are people that have done it, wonderful Christians. I think of John MacArthur, a wonderful Christian, very knowledgeable Christian. He hadn't even scratched the surface of his knowledge of God. That's the transcendence of God is so great. No man can understand it, but in our own ways, we can reach certain levels. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what that means, the knowledge of the glory of God. And only scripture can give you that knowledge. You can't find it anywhere else. Proof verses Psalm 119, 130. 119, 130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. There's no other place to get it but God's word. 119, 130. That's a very good verse to write down and remember to use, because it gives you the idea that you can understand scripture. You have the mind to do it. And to be clear, I want to be clear about this. I'm not referring to just an intellectual knowledge, but I'm talking about a transformative understanding of God's character, his attributes, and his will. You're going to find none of that anywhere else but in this one book. That's why the Bible is so important, because it gives you everything you need in this world and also to help you in the world to come. The word transformative means it means being changed radically changed to a different view. And that's what's happened to every single born again Christian. The Bible transforms our minds in ways that are really unimaginary. All of the things we've ever experienced as Christians are nothing compared to what's to come. Did you ever think about that? No matter what blessings you have right now, the ones that are to come tomorrow, the next day, and all eternity are far greater than anything that's ever happened to you thus far. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have God planning out every moment of your life, every breath you take, every heartbeat. That's how much He loves you. God's Big Bang power isn't only an external force, it's an internal spiritual force. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You should be walking as a child of God in light all the time. And it's only when we understand and walk in His word that we glorify God. That's how you glorify. People have said to me, "How do we glorify God? I pray, I put money in a bucket, I sing. How do we glorify God?" Walk in His word. What does John 14, 15 say? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Simple. That's how you glorify God. And when we and we and there's other ways we do it. We do it when we're thankful. We should be a thankful people for everything we have. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." We should be a thankful people all the time. He's also glorified when we shine our light into the world. Do you do that? Do you do that every day? Do you do it at work? Maybe in the neighborhood, do you do that? Do you shine your light? Do you let them see that you have within you the light of God? Matthew 5, 14 and 16. "You are the light of the world," Jesus said. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You're the light of the world. There's no other light in the world. Jesus Christ is ascended. The Holy Spirit indwells you. You are the light of the world. And you are to reflect that light out into the world in your behavior and in your lifestyle every single day as best you can. Someone has written, "The knowledge of the glory of God leads to a life of worship, obedience, and service. And it aligns," and this is interesting, "it aligns one's thoughts, their affections, and actions with God's will." I want to read that again. "And it aligns one's thoughts, affections, and actions with God's will. It also results in a desire to see others come to know God and experience His glory." How are we doing in aligning ourselves with God's will? How are we doing with that? Our thoughts, our affections, and our actions. We need to think about that. I just told a Bible study class this morning. We have to understand the Bible says, "Examine yourself for a reason." It isn't to give God information, it's to show you where you are with Him. And you need to ask yourself these questions: how am I doing? And lastly, Paul ends our text with, "In the face of Jesus Christ." That term means Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is the clearest reflection of God's nature and character. And in Hebrews 1:3, it testifies to that, talking about Jesus, says He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. So when we see Christ, remember that one of His disciples said, "Can we see the Father?" And He says, "How you have been with me so long, and do you not know that if you see me, you see the Father?" He is the exact imprint of God the Father. And that infers that only through Jesus Christ, because of that, because Christ is the imprint of God's nature, that only through Him can we understand and experience the true nature and glory of God. You can't understand God or His glory if you don't, if you're not hooked up with Jesus Christ, you can't. If you're not in His hand, you're never going to know that. You can't know that. You can go to church. There's tons of churches. I mean, the world is filled with churches, filled with religion. But if you want to know the true religion, the religion of Jacob, the religion of heaven and hell, then you have to be in Christ and he has to be in you. And then you can understand somewhat the true nature and glory of God. And the reason is because Jesus Christ embodies God's love, his grace, his mercy, and his truth. And you should be doing the same thing as best you can every day. You should be, your life should embody God's love, his grace, his mercy, and his truth. And you do that by sharing the message. You do that by walking uprightly. You do that by walking worthy of your calling. All of those things glorify God. If you're listening to this and you're not saved, if you haven't received the light of the Big Bang, if you've heard it, but you haven't heard or felt the spiritual Big Bang in Jesus, it means you're living in spiritual darkness. I didn't believe it at the time, but Ephesians 4:18 tells us, speaking of the lost, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. That perfectly defines who I was and who you were before we were saved. They're darkened in their understanding. I didn't care about God. That's dark. Alienated from the life of God. I had no clue because of their ignorance. And I was totally ignorant of God and the things of God because my heart was hard. That's why he says in Ezekiel 36, 27, I'll remove your heart and give you a new heart and cause you to obey my commandments, and you'll walk in my statutes and obey my commandments. I think is how it goes. Because that heart has to go. And if you leave this world in darkness, I'm here to tell you this morning as a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you leave this world in that darkness in your life will last forever. It will never end. It's forever. Proof verse, Matthew 25, 30. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. That's a referral to the hell. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if you go down in Matthew 25 to verse 46, he explains what that's like. Matthew says, all these will go away into eternal punishment. And then if you look up Revelation 20, 13 through 15, it talks about being thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. But that doesn't have to be. If you have not seen the light of Jesus Christ in your life, if he hasn't lit up your life, very simple. The first thing you have to do is realize that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says that we're all sinners. And in 3:10, it says that there's none righteous, no matter how good you are, no matter what you do, if you give your life for other people, irrelevant. There's no righteousness outside of Christ. And the penalty for your sin, that's what we're really talking about here, is death. Romans 6:23. That doesn't have to be. The good news is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. That's the good news. If you want to see the light, if you want a life that has a meaning and a purpose, and you want to live a life that has more than a purpose, but has a goal, something that you're shooting for. If you want to do that, all you have to do is repent of your sins. You just have to ask God to forgive you. And if you ask God to forgive you and you repent of them, that is, that repent means this is my life. I'm taking that life. I'm turning my back on it and I'm walking away from it. I'm walking with Christ. I'm going to take this book and learn everything I can about him, and I'm going to do my best to anchor my life around this book. If you do that, then the Bible says in Romans 10:13 that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You will be saved. You will be saved. And that's all you have to do. Does it mean you got to be perfect? No. None of us are perfect when we get saved. Nothing. Being saved simply means this. All your sins are forgiven. They're paid for in full, past, present, and any future sin you ever will commit. It's paid in full, period. Now you start to walk. And every day's a walk. And every day you'll lose a little more of those things in your life that hold you back. And every day you'll draw a little closer to God. And every day you'll see more of the light. Until you get to a point where you see the big bang in your life. Why? Because your life is so radically changed. And it's all for good. There's not one bad thing you could ever say a person could do if they follow Christ's word. Nothing. Everything in that book is beneficial to a human being. If that's you, and you want to know more about how you can have that big bang light lighting up your life. And matter of fact, that's what Psalm 119, 105 says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light. If you want that, you call or see me, and I'll show you in his word how he wants you to be the light in this world, another one of his lights in this world. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know about you, but just listening to this message myself, I'm going to rejoice all the way home. I'm going to rejoice for the rest of the day, because the spiritual big bang light that called you and me out of the darkness is with you now and will be with you forever, evermore. The light you have in you now will never go out. That candle will never go out. It won't go out now, and it won't go out forever. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you in this world or in the world to come. With that, I leave you with the wonderful words and promises of John 14:2 and 3. David, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And here's the best part, that where I am, there you may be also, forever and ever. Take that home and enjoy it and believe it and live it every day. Let's pray.